Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. Regular listeners will know that we have a huge community of working mums over on our Facebook group, Careering into Motherhood. Please, if you aren't already a member and you like this kind of content and you want to have coaching style conversations, join a community of people who want to help figure out the best way for yourself to juggle a working life around family life, please do come and join us. We're a really welcoming and supportive group. Among that group is my guest today, Sally Wade. Sally is an executive coach and she had her life all in order. She had a great career, as we'll hear in a moment, and then she had her twins. In amongst all of that, she felt a loss of personal identity. And this is something that comes up quite regularly in our own community, as I talked about on Facebook. This sense of, who am I now? Now that I'm no longer just who I was before I had children, I no longer feel I can have the same aspirations or even really the same personal aspirations that I had before. And yet, for many of us, we don't want to become just somebody else's mum. We're going to be talking today, therefore, all about personal identity and rediscovering or ensuring you don't lose yourself once you become a parent. Sally, welcome. Sally, I am delighted to have you here on the Careering into Motherhood podcast with us today, all the way from, well, I was going to say sunny South Africa, but because I can see you in your jacket and scarf, it doesn't look too sunny today, or maybe not too warm. For our listeners, please just give a brief introduction about who you are and what you do.
So thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited about talking to you and all the listeners today. I, as you said, I'm in South Africa, so we're in the throes of winter. So scarves, jackets, gloves, but it's only very short, so we can survive a very short winter. And I am at the moment, I'm an executive coach for working mothers. So I spent 22 years in corporate at Coca-Cola Africa. I worked my way up from the front lines to the executive suite. I led a global business. I had a fabulous career by all accounts. And then when my girls were two, in the throes of the terrible twos, because they were twins, I took the decision to leave the company during a global restructure and do something new without a plan B. I don't recommend leaving without a plan B, but it has worked really well for me in hindsight, and got double qualified as a coach. And now I am an executive coach and consultant. And I really, really want to work with, focus on working mothers. And one of the reasons I do this is something I've been talking about recently, is because I believe that working mothers are the impetus for making business better and for changing the world of work. There are enough of us. There are millions of working mothers out there, and we can change the world of work, not only for us, but for every other caregiver, every other employee, and really shape the future of the world of work. And to do that, we need to do some work to get there. Mm. So that's why I'm so excited about talking about the topic we're talking about today and everything that I talk about in the world of the working mother.
Mm. And we're going to come on today to talk about kind of your personal identity and rediscovering yourself after, or as well as at the same time as having children, something that often comes up, this sense of we are first and foremost mothers, and then it seems that we're, you know, secondly, the people that we used to be. And, you know, for a lot of people, that doesn't feel the right way around. And to touch upon the things you just talked about, that, you know, we should be the ones with the power to be able to reshape the narrative and design things together that help other working mothers. In order to be able to do that, I think you have to have quite a strong sense of personal identity, don't you? So How can working mothers navigate this process of self-discovery?
And I think it's, and you're right, that strong sense of self and person is critical for everyone, and especially working mothers, because we can get so lost in the everyday chaos and the hustle and bustle and the juggle struggle of getting everything done and getting everything done for everyone else. And it's really easy for us, for lots of reasons, to put ourselves last on that list. And then end up feeling stressed out, stretched too thin, and sometimes not really happy with the life that we've ended up with. So that maintaining that personal balance in this new identity that we're creating is really important. And I think that it's really important that you embrace the fact that, well, we embrace the fact that while we're working mothers, that's a part of who we are. It's not just a label, because it is definitely a part of who we are, but it isn't all that we are as well. So maintaining that sense of self and maintaining the sense of passion that we have around other things in our lives, I think it's important that we give ourselves permission to also love other things than our children. I think that's a key one.
Yeah. Do you think that your own experience of motherhood has helped to shape this sort of passion you have for self-discovery? Or is it something you were always very keen to protect?
So this is not, it's not something that I was mindful of or aware of before I had my kids at all. Okay. Largely because I was living for myself and then my husband and our relationship, you know, and then my work. And then when you layer on the responsibility of raising the next generation responsibly, hopefully creating the next generation of positive people in the world who'll go out and change the world their way, started becoming more important after I had my midnight moment in the kitchen when I was sitting on the floor. It was 2 a.m. in the morning, and I had a colicky child again, and I was this night, and I was just going, I was sitting on the kitchen floor literally crying while my child was crying, thinking I can't do this. I was exhausted. I was worn out. I wasn't enjoying that. I had no, and this motherhood glow, because I was just I'd lost myself in being mother to my twins. I'd entirely lost myself. And it was kind of all that I was doing, all that I was thinking about. And I felt like I'd lost my spark. I felt like I'd lost being interesting to other people, because all I was doing was mother.
I think it's something that an awful lot of us go through. I can absolutely identify with your story there as well. And, you know, I think it is really hard, isn't it, when we're brought up to feel like we should be the child bearers, the caregivers, the homemakers, etc. And that narrative does still exist for a lot of women. And the responsibility, I mean, you have a small human being who is helpless by themselves. So, you know, that reprioritizing and subordinating of the self is quite natural that it happens. But what happened to you at 2 a.m. in the morning when you had this realization? What did you do as a result?
Well, I woke my husband up in the morning. I let him sleep through the night because, you know, I'm nice. And I woke him up in the morning and said, I need help. I can't do this for me. And I think having twins made it that much more urgent, because I was getting 3 hours sleep in any 24 hours. I couldn't keep doing this.
Yeah.
So, you know, having twins probably accelerated that. Babies. But it was this, I had to accept in that 2 a.m. moment on the kitchen floor that I couldn't do it all, and I couldn't do all I should be doing. So I then spent time thinking about the should list, I should be doing this and I should be doing this. And the dishes should be done and packed away every night. It's fine. They don't have to be packed away. The dishwasher needs to be packed. That's it. So I had to pare down my should list. And then I had to look at the list then and go, okay, which of these things am I doing? Which of these things do I want to do? Mm. Which of these things can somebody else do? And which of the things are we not doing anymore? And it has a really big tussle with that going,
yeah,
like I should be, these are the things that I should be doing because I've been conditioned into thinking, I've been brought up thinking I should be doing these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually choosing to not do them. I'm not going to wash dishes every night. I will mm-hmm. put them in the dishwasher. When it's full, it can go on. I do not have to wash every dish every night. Like I don't have to.
Yeah.
And it was like things that for me are important are clean kitchen counters in the kitchen, as an example. So the kitchen counters get cleaned every night because it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And it's hygienic and healthy, but I have a reason for doing it beyond I should be doing it. Sure. And I'm choosing to do it because I like having clean kitchen counters and it's germs and ants. We have ants here, but I'm choosing to do it. So it's different for me when I'm choosing to do something.
Yes.
Versus I feel like I have to be doing this.
And how did you get comfortable with this? And I think also just to bring in your almost your conditioning around your career as well. And I'm talking as someone who, you know, say I absolutely empathize with everything you're saying and can identify with it. And I think when you come up the ladder with your career, you have your list of shoulds and you damn well deliver those list of shoulds in your career, and you might bring that across to your personal life as well. And getting comfortable almost with the chaos in inverted commas, because that's certainly for me, that's what it felt like. I felt like the moment my son was a baby, did not sleep for 2 years, 2.5 years. And so when he slept for 20 minutes, I felt like, oh my God, now's my time. I need to do the washing. I need to hang the washing out. I need to be doing the ironing. For some reason, I had conditioned in my head I needed to iron his baby grows, for God's sake. And, you know, also keep the fridge fully stocked and keep the counters all nice and clean and wiped and so on. And how do you get to that point where you allow yourself permission to do the what do I want, not what should I do?
I think everyone's point is different. Reach that point at a different stage. And certainly in my career, I was driven, delivering. I was moving up. And if I wasn't moving up, I was doing something wrong as well for my career. And that constant doing of things and being in control and being in charge. But to be fair, even in a work environment, largely, it's largely a logical environment where you get stuff done. It kind of makes sense. And it took me a long time to understand that motherhood, different from career. Like even if I do all of those things, even if my kitchen is spotless, my house is spotless, everything is perfect in inverted commas, that there's still going to be chaos because it's messy because you're dealing with little beings who are within you. And it really was this acceptance that I cannot control everything. And that took me quite a while to get to that 2 a.m. kitchen moment did help. But it's still a default of mine. And it's conditioned many years of corporate work and succeeding and going climbing that ladder and breaking glass ceilings and everything else. I still catch myself going, well, you know, and if I do more, if I try harder, and it doesn't work like that. So it's so motherhood and parenting, while there is logic attached in terms of human development, I get in the moment, it doesn't feel logical. It can feel chaotic because you're not actually controlling the situation because you've got developing little minds are going to come with you for what they think should be done. And they didn't read the script, or they didn't buy the book, and they didn't sign up for that schedule that you've been told is the right one to do.
Yeah.
And that learning to, and I found that when I stopped trying to do everything, when I stopped trying to figure it out on my own and stopped doing and spent more time thinking and spent more time, quiet time for, with myself. I learned to trust my own intuition and figure things out better.
Interesting.
It's a trusting yourself, but I had to learn to give myself the space and time to not me to sit down with a cup of coffee on the patio in the sun for half an hour rather than clean the dishes or put a washing on. The time I spend with myself just being is as important for me and my children as my doing is. And in fact, it's more because it was in those moments that I would connect things together. Like my one child had very high reflux and we changed something. We changed based on the pediatrician's advice. We changed something, but we hadn't adjusted her medication. Mm. And I couldn't understand why she was just getting worse and worse and worse on the phone to the ped. I was following everything. And then I realized that we hadn't adjusted in the quiet moment that I had when I calmed down, when I allowed myself to calm down and enjoy my 20 minutes outside in the sun with my cup of coffee. I made that connection then because I gave myself the space to really think about it. And then I could make the connection between the fact that we hadn't adjusted something. Then I could fix that and then it got better. But in the busyness, the chaos, the doing, the craziness, I couldn't make the connection.
Absolutely. So
I think that was another kind of key moment for me in terms of understanding that I'm allowed to do nothing. I'm allowed. I don't have to be always doing. I'm allowed. I had to give myself permission. I'm allowed to actually sit down and not do anything.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership program. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you, and we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood, and as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive, and I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
Yeah, it's so hard, isn't it? Especially, again, you know, coming from the corporate world where time is money, as they say, so you don't have the time. And yeah, you might have away days. The whole reason they have away days and strategy days and things to give yourself that time to think. But are they also, when you're in the corporate world, A, you're always busy, but also you do move along a ladder. You don't get that next job until you've got the experience from the first one and so on and so forth. But motherhood is so different. You get no experience. You're suddenly parachuted into this thing where every single day is different and you are learning on the job. And it's really interesting you say that thing about suddenly having that realization that it was X, Y, Z that was causing something you needed to adjust and giving yourself that time. I had something really similar. My son had really bad reflux and he had quite bad baby eczema. And they gave us this cream to put on him. It was just like an emollient cream. And we used to think, we put it on him when we were changing his nappy and stuff. And we'd think, why does he hate it so much? He used to cry every time we laid him down to change his nappy, and we'd think, God, what is it? And it was only one time when I was in a different room, I was just like, I can't cope with this anymore. And it suddenly occurred to me, I think this cream is stinging him. And so, you know, because I'm thinking, why? It's supposed to be a fun, joyful, connecting moment when you do these things. And it just wasn't. And the penny just suddenly dropped. And it, you know, it is that. It's when you're in it and you're just running at a million miles an hour that it's really hard to think clearly. And I know, so talking really, I guess, about taking time for yourself and self-care, How on earth do you find the time to incorporate that into your, whether it's your daily or weekly or just your regular life?
Well, and this self-care topic for me is it's a bit of a hot button, because self-care is a topic something everyone talks about. And self-care is like bubble baths and spa days. I don't have time for that. I just don't have time for that. And it was only when I changed how I think about it as not self-care, it's about managing my energy. I'm a true introvert in terms of I love people. I'm a social introvert, maybe not a true introvert. I love spending time with people, love being around people, but I need to recharge on my own, which you know, having two small children, you don't get a lot of that. But knowing that I need alone time and changing my mind from self-care to energy management really helped shift that, because then I started thinking about what are the things that give me energy and rebuild my energy, and one of the things that drain me, because I mean, you can't avoid those things. Like, I don't like doing the washing and folding laundry, but you know, it has to get done. So, but knowing the effect that it has on me, building my energy management plan around that. So I have like, and it doesn't need to take forever either. It's 5 minutes outside. It's walking up and down the driveway, walking up and down the driveway in the sun for 5 minutes in the day. It's about, for me, it really changed when I stopped thinking about self-care and having to go to the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week. I don't have time to get dressed, drive to the gym, spend an hour there, and then come home, chaos. All of the relaxing work in the gym is done, because within 5 minutes, everyone's screaming when I walk in the door. Like, it just wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
So really being aware of the things that build my energy and build my resilience, and those things that drain me, and learning how to balance those in every day, and finding those 5 minute routines. I'm a country music fan. I'm not entirely ashamed to admit that I listen to modern country music, but I have like impromptu dance parties because I love the music and I love dancing. So the music goes on, and I'll spend a few minutes dancing in the office. So it isn't always for me. It's if I have to think about going like, spend an hour doing something, it's completely overwhelming. If I go, I've got 5 or 10 minutes, what am I going to do? I'm going to go for a walk. Yeah. I'm going to go pick the dogs outside. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to sit and do nothing also. Mm. I'm going to grab my pen and my paper and go sit outside and write something to myself. Yeah. So for me, it really is being just that mindful about restoring your energy, building your energy, so that when it comes time to use the energy in ways that you don't enjoy so much, it's there for you to use. So that's how I've worked self-care into my day every day. And it really has made a difference. And it's changed. It's actually part of what's changed my life probably, is that just really managing my energy and being aware of my energy, so that if I know I'm low and I don't have time to do anything, we can always have a dance party with 5-year-olds. They're always up for a dance party.
Of
so
course.
You can always have a lounge. You know, it's just that, just being aware of where I am on that kind of energy scale, so that I'm kinder to myself as well.
Can I ask a little bit more now about your sort of your aspirations for yourself and your business? Obviously, you've still got two very young children, the two girls. And how do you find that balance between the responsibility of as a caregiver? You know, you're going to have them going through school and beyond, and then the pursuit of your personal goals, because you are someone who has set up in business on your own. I'm sure you have aspirations for your business, and that balance is really tough. How have you made peace with that?
It is really tough, and it is around setting up a schedule that works for me and being able to do that with my own business, and being okay with not being constantly available is also really important, and available for my children and for work.
Right. Okay.
That dedicated work time, and then I have more flexible late afternoons where it depends on what I'm doing. So it's been about flexibility, and it's been about also a couple of things. So I have a vision for my business, and I have a big picture that I'm following I'm going for in terms of the business and making better. So that's my kind of work goal, is really changing the world for working mothers to make business better. And that for me feels like a big thing that keeps me hugely motivated. Mm. And then managing the time and the energy around the kids and having that flexibility, being okay with not doing everything myself. But then I've also blocked out of my calendar. I have times when I'm not available. Mm-hmm. So between 4:35 to 7:30 when they're asleep, I've blocked out my calendar. No one can book mm-hmm. time like that mm-hmm. because that's my time to spend some time with them, do some playing, get them ready for bed, do that quality time. For me, it's quality over quantity as well. Mm-hmm. And then my phone is away. I don't look at my phone. My phone is on a shelf because if I have my phone out there, I also want to play with it.
Yeah.
So I have my phone away. I have the office door closed or the laptop closed. My time is booked out. Mm-hmm. This is my time for them and really being present with them. So it's about choosing where I'm going to be present and to what end, whether it's the work space, advancing my work or the cause, or whether parent space. It really is dedicating that time and being in that moment and not being distracted in that moment. So that's what, and I think that's what the last couple of years has really taught me, is about being present in whichever moment you're in and being really there.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's so interesting. And yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sally, for your candid thoughts on all of this, because it's not easy. And I know for a lot of us as mums, we are so torn by these shoulds rather than wants. Can I ask, as we come to the end of the episode, what do you have, one sort of everyday tip or self-coaching kind of mantra that you swear by?
I think the most important thing I think is that I matter, and it's that we matter, and that rediscovering my passions and rediscovering our passions while we're working mothers is what makes us better people, better partners, better parents, and better professionals. Mm. So, and I have it on my board actually, is you matter. And I like to convey this to people, particularly when you're in the chaos throes, is you still matter. Even if you're dealing with the chaos, you matter. What you need matters. And because it's so easy for us to forget that. So for me, it is about you matter and giving yourself permission to rediscover your passions by giving yourself time every day, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour if you can, to do the things that you love to do, that you are fully allowed to do that, and then it makes you a better person, partner, parent, and professional when you do that.
Mm. Yes, totally agree. Thank you very much indeed. I've learnt loads, and it's also been slightly therapeutic for me. So thank you. Just in closing, where can people find out more about working with Sally?
Well, obviously on the Queering Into Motherhood website. I'm there. Mm-hmm. My profile there. You can engage with me, reach out. I'd love to hear any questions, comments, theories, insights anybody has. Love to engage. So please do find me there. I am on LinkedIn as well. It's Sally Wade Edgerton on LinkedIn, because things are complicated with married life, different names. And I'm quite active on LinkedIn as well, a little bit on Facebook, but LinkedIn is my primary social platform. Mm-hmm. And if you do go there, please sign up for the newsletter, because I do send out, it's called a newsletter. I send out my articles. I love writing. So I send out my articles there as well. And I have a brand new webinar that launched this morning on LinkedIn. So it's a free webinar. Fantastic. So if you're feeling so inspired, please go and find me on LinkedIn, say hi, let's connect. I'd love to know you more on LinkedIn as well as the Queering Into Motherhood website.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time. And it's been a joy speaking to you.
Thank you for having me. I have enjoyed this time. Thank you so much.
I feel like we should really have a bit of country music going on in the background now. That's brilliant to think of Sally getting on down in her office every so often just to manage her energy levels. But joking aside, I think the point she makes is a really, really valuable one. Too often the word self-care bandied around and we think it needs to mean a spa day or taking hours for yourself to go and do something, massages, etc. As Sally said, you know, the time just getting to and from the gym is sometimes too much that we can't even fit it in. So rather than thinking about huge chunks of time, it's what do I need right now to best manage my energy levels for what I have coming up, whether that is at work or at home. It's definitely something I'm going to try myself. The other point I loved that Sally made was this concept of what do I want to do versus what do I feel I should be doing, and starting to get more comfortable with good enough. And the things I want to do will make me happier and feel more fulfilled if I can get more of that. Loads of insight. As Sally says, please do check her out on LinkedIn and also have a look at her on her profile on our website, which is www.careeringintomotherhood.com. I'm Jane Johnson. It's been great having you listen along with us today. Thank you, and I'll be back next time.